You are listening to the North Peace Roundtable podcast, your weekly podcast about theology and the Christian life. Episode 64, fellas. Woo-hoo. Welcome back. I think we've had a few weeks off for Christmas.
Yep. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy Hanukkah, almost.
Didn't Hanukkah already happen?
Oh, I'm thinking Russian Christmas.
A few times before.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Anyways, all the holidays.
All the holidays.
Yeah,
Chinese happy New holidays. Year. See, that's probably why people say that. It's just happy holidays. It's easy. No. It encapsulates.
I saw someone say a post of like, if someone says happy holidays to me, I'm going to say Merry Christmas, and then I'm going to walk away because I'm not a jerk. I found that pretty amusing.
Anyways, thanks for tuning in. This is the North Peace Roundtable podcast. My name's Andrew, and with me as always is Corlin.
Hello, hello.
And Cameron.
Good morning, everyone.
And if you are new to the podcast, we do this roughly once a week. I love that the intro says your weekly podcast, but hey. It's give or take.
Weekly-ish.
Weekly-ish, but we talk about theology and the Christian life and what it means to follow Jesus. And then sometimes people send in questions that they have. So we have a question for this week. A fine young man sent in a question. I guess I should keep it more vague. They don't want to be known. But anyways,
a man.
A person.
Yeah.
And I don't have the question right in front of me, but essentially the question was, are Christians forbidden to participate in stuff like, and he gave a few examples, Dungeons and Dragons, you know, Harry Potter, Marvel movies, since those things kind of celebrate or are about or include magic. So should we steer clear of those things, or should we engage? Like, should you go see a Marvel movie? Should you play Dungeons and Dragons? Should you read Harry Potter? Or as Christians, do we just go like, nope, that's magic. The Bible talks about, you know, that stuff is not okay, so we should just steer clear of it.
I think the first question that pops into mind is, and I know that it's not the case for everyone, but I've asked a few people. And it's when they're like, yeah, no, you shouldn't, like, Marvel movies are evil, Dungeons and Dragons is evil. I'm on the fifth book of the Chronicles of Narnia series, though. It's like...
all right. That's a different kind of magic.
All right. Or even Lord of the Rings, who was written by J.R.R. Tolkien, and he was a Christian, and there is some major Christian themes in that book. Yeah. It's not by any means I wouldn't say it's a Christian book, but there are Christian themes in it.
Yeah.
And a lot of Christians are okay with that then.
Sure.
So like, I guess my first question is, where do we draw that line then? That some magic is okay, but the stuff that you maybe don't like isn't.
Yeah.
That'd be where I would go first, but what about you?
Well, first I had to research what is what is Dungeons and Dragons, and I actually sent a cheeky text to these guys saying, I wonder if we called it old or wet basements and old alligators, if it would have not have caused such a stirring.
Wait, is that about dragons? No. Alligators. Oh,
that's right.
Okay.
But I think I would just added it to the laundry list of things I wasn't allowed to engage with growing up, but without any rationale whatsoever.
Sure.
And I actually remember, you know, in a charismatic church, hearing about like avoiding all these forms of like magic, but then watching The Flying House, a cartoon from the 80s, a Christian cartoon of like a little boy that goes into a flying house and it spins around and they land in a biblical time. It's like, wait a minute, that's magic, right?
No, that's different.
that's different. We've redeemed that magic. And so I found that quite interesting, and even a quick look into, you know, what does the Bible say about, you know, engaging with magic. And there's obviously some, you know, Isaiah, Deuteronomy, different spots where, you know, we're told obviously to not engage with magic. But then I'd say, well, is playing a board game like trying to summon some form of like magic, or is it not? And so I haven't played the game or understand it, but there's games my kids play. Like it's neat that you mention, you know, Chronicles of Narnia, because we've read those books to our kids, and like you were going to walk into a wardrobe and appear in another world, all these metaphors, and it's not sensical at all, but it has a deeper meaning. And so then I guess the question could be asked, is does something that is not birthed out of a good spirit then have a deeper meaning that you can engage with?
Yeah,
that's possible. I think that would be a good rebuttal.
Yeah,
to those asking like, well, what is Dungeons and Dragons, or what is the core foundation of the magic that is in a Marvel movie? I think as far as the movies are concerned, it's a little tougher just because, like, what movie can you go to that doesn't have any element of what a Christian has been encouraged to avoid in the Bible? I think that there'd be none left at all. And so I don't think we can focus on one particular thing like magic as far as movies. I think every single movie we'd have to avoid.
Yeah, I think growing up, my upbringing was much the same. Like, certain things were just forbidden in my house, and yet there were other things that we participated in that, looking back now, I'm like, oh, wait a second, that's a little bit inconsistent. But growing up, it was just kind of like, okay, like, Pokemon was, you know, crafted by the devil, and so my friends all had these Pokemon cards and they're playing these little games of monsters and blah 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 blah, and I was like, no, you are not allowed to have any of those. And then I think I was in grade 6 or 7 when the first Harry Potter book came out. And I remember my dad was so mad that it was in the school library or whatever. Sure. Because that's like celebrating witchcraft and it's teaching kids how to do witchcraft, which my dad's never read the books. So it's interesting. Right. It's like, have you actually ever read them? Well, no, because they're bad. Well, how do you know? You've never even read them.
Yeah.
But then other things, like you said, like, we read Narnia. As I got older, we read The Hobbit, which is like full of magical creatures. But it's like, well, that was written by a Christian, so it's different. We read Lord of the Rings. You think about Adventures in Odyssey. They go on like crazy adventures. Yeah. And we just listened to one, and it was something along the lines of like a time traveling thing. And then they go back to different, and my kids listen to that. And I'm like,
as they fall asleep. Like,
well, it's like, and that's okay, but that's magic. So it's interesting how we, you know, classify certain things. Well, like, Narnia's okay because C.S. Lewis, well, he was a Christian, and Aslan is the Jesus character, so that's okay. But other things aren't. So, I mean, even biblically, yeah, you talk about Deuteronomy, talks about, you know, sorcery and witchcraft are, you know, forbidden. I wrote down, you know, Ephesians 5 talks about, you know, don't become partners with them, and they list a whole bunch of things that he classifies as darkness, right? For at one time you were darkness, but now you're light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found on all that's good and right and true. And try and discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And then the other one that I thought was like right near the end, Revelation 21, talking about who is not going to inherit the kingdom, but he says, for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So yeah, there's passages that talk about like, yeah, don't do that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. And you and me were talking about that example where Saul goes to the medium and summons Elijah,
which was very wrong of him to do.
Yeah, which, and no one reading that would be like, oh, cool, I should do that. Like, that was completely evil for him to go and let's summon a dead person to get advice about stuff. So there's lots of examples in the Bible that's like, yeah, you shouldn't do that kind of stuff. But my question is, like, watching a movie where someone has superpowers, so like Batman, or I guess Batman doesn't have superpowers. Yeah, that's a bad example. A terrible one to pick. No, Superman.
The idol of wealth and consumerism.
Yeah. So like, to watch a Superman movie, is that the same thing as me saying, I'm going to draw a pentagram on the ground and, you know, practice witchcraft? I don't think it is.
Yeah, I personally don't see it the same either.
Can we like say why are we by participating in it, are we saying like magic's fine? Like, so for instance, yeah, why don't you explain what Dungeons and Dragons is? Corlin's the only nerd that's played it. I'm just joking.
I am a geek under grace.
But honestly, like, I just grew up, that's evil. You will never be allowed to do that. And okay, but never explained, well, what exactly is it?
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is.
It's actually, I'm glad that you asked me to explain it, because it is something. I was reading some articles on, like, Christians and their interaction with D&D and stuff like that.
Can I say how I grew up thinking that it was?
Yeah.
That you go down into a dark room and you like
hold hands and hum or something.
Well, I didn't even know, like, until you told me that, like, oh, there's dice involved. I had no idea.
Okay.
It was just kind of like, I'm pretty sure you're just like summoning demons and, you know, doing evil things in the dark.
The Ouija board is the expansion pack.
Yeah, something like that. I had no idea. Like, oh, there's like dice involved and you do this and that. And so anyways, why don't you just share a little bit?
It's interesting that you say that, because that is a lot of Christians' only interaction with that world. It's just like, it's evil, it's bad, it's probably this, but I don't know. I just know it's evil.
Don't you have to like cut your hand and do a blood oath?
No. Okay. Yeah. That's only at the beginning. No, I'm kidding. I am very much so joking about that. So Dungeons and Dragons, as a base, it is a tabletop game where you have what is called a dungeon master or a game master. Essentially, he's the narrator. Okay. Who builds a story, builds like an imaginary world, and then each of the players in that, what's called a campaign, so the story, builds their own character. Like if you were playing with your friends, you'd build a character, and each one of those characters has different roles to play. Each character has different abilities and whatnot. And as you go through that world or navigate that story, your individual characters can affect the world in the sense of like a prime example would be if you're walking through the forest looking for someone because someone in the town wanted you to, according to the story, you can specifically say, I am going to climb that tree to see if I can see further. And then they would get you to roll a dice to see if you even make it up the tree. And if not, you fall and you might break your leg. And then you have to navigate that, right? Like it's, huh. The way I look at it is essentially like an interactive audiobook because you are navigating a story in which simply by chance your character succeeds or doesn't succeed at certain tasks that you would like to perform.
It sounds like an adult version of my kids playing imagination in the backyard.
Yep.
Like this summer they were like, oh, okay, the swing set is now the town square and yep. I'm going to go over there and I'm... And it's, I don't yell at my kids, stop, that's evil!
Yeah. So now, for people that did know that, because that's like a really, really basic level of that, I know that people are afraid of like the magic that's involved. And
yeah, like you can do sketchy things in it if you wanted to.
If you wanted to, sure. You absolutely could. But that's like most things in life. You can do sketchy things in church, too. You can.
So, those listening could probably argue like that's a really dumb game to play as a Christian. Like it's what's the benefit or the, you know, just being the rebuttal, like what is the benefit of that? Or maybe like, you know, it's maybe not something we want to have the kids playing cause it can warp with their mind. Like, I don't know.
Yep. But then I'll sit down and watch a 4-hour hockey game.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
I think it's more like
3 hours.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's not,
I think in my, like, I would obviously advise anyone who plays it to be careful. Before I answer your question.
It's more rhetorical. Like
yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'll try and answer your question at least somewhat. And some people might not think it's a great answer. But before I get to that, one of the narrators of the stories that I was a part of once, straight, because I asked him, I was like, can't you, like, isn't there some sketchy stuff? Like, can't you, blah, blah, blah. This was when I had never really played it before. And essentially, he just told me straight up, he's like, yeah, well, we don't do that, for one. And second, if you wouldn't do it in real life, don't do it in the game. Like, if sure. you, for example, in the game, if you wouldn't draw a pentagram in real life, don't get your character to do it.
Sure.
Because that's just dumb, right?
Yeah.
And to me, that was kind of like, oh, yeah, like, that's true. You don't, the way the game is set up, it is like if you read the handbook or the guidebook, there is no rule that says you have to follow this. You can modify.
Is there an option in the game to draw a pentagram on the ground?
If you wanted to, you could, like, but you don't have to.
As a content of the game itself, like that's an option.
That's entirely dependent on what your character would or what you choose to make your character do.
Oh, but it's not like an option like on a card or a. Okay,
no, so it's pretty loose, right?
It's very much so you make it what you want it to be. Like, legitimately speaking, you could your narrator could make up a story where you are literally
who's
living
the narrator, like another person that you've brought to the game to play.
Usually, they're like they would be the person that's inviting you to come and play. Essentially, they invite you to come and be a part of the story that they want to tell.
Oh, weird. Okay.
So it that's why I'm using the term narrator, because sure. it's something that's maybe more comfortable than dungeon master or game master, because that is what they are. Is they are a sure. narrator, right? So
yeah,
I think it just falls into one of those things where it's like, Is it beneficial? Probably not. Is it like harmful? Probably not. Like if you're at a, like it's one of those sit down and watch a hockey game. It's one of those sit down and watch a Marvel. Like if you're a new Christian struggling, or you have a friend that's like much like anything else, like Paul would say, like, okay, maybe don't bring your friend who's struggling with spirituality, understanding what's true and what's false.
Yeah.
Well, even too, like maybe don't. It's with anything. You can make anything an idol, or like. You know, I could play Settlers of Catan, a board game that so many Christians love, but I could play it for 5 hours every night, and that's probably not a good thing, because I'm like, maybe not, right? It's becoming an obsession. I think anything can become...
Catan's actually funny, because I played it a couple times. It's like, I want to steal your resources. I want to hoard the natural resources that you would need to survive, and my kingdom's going to actually prevail.
Yeah.
Or I think of Risk. Like, that's another popular game amongst Christian guys, primarily.
I was going to say, not...
but, it, like, let's go to war. Let's celebrate war. And, you know, how many people, and maybe even in an MB college, would have played that game against even, the whole...
That's fantasy. You're having a world map, and you're pretending that...
To dominate and to control by violence.
Is there an element of magic and fantasy to Risk? Sure, because... Your little guys are moving around battling. Yeah. So, again, like, I think where do you draw the line? And maybe there's some people listening who are really uncomfortable with Risk. Okay, that's
true.
That's fine. You don't.
Yeah. I think that there is definitely room for personal conviction in these types of conversation, right? If you feel convicted in your heart that Dungeons and Dragons, Harry Potter, Marvel movies, et cetera, are wrong, don't watch them.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? Do you maybe have some valuable points? Yeah.
Yeah.
Should people consistently be checking their hearts on these things before they do them? I think so.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, it's interesting. And then to answer your question of like, what would be any good of it, essentially, in all honesty, the best answer that I have to that is simply that it promotes creative thinking. Now that might sound like a really like, well, it does this, like, and trying to throw something out there. There's tons and tons of research that shows, specifically with children and the development of your brain, that having time to simply not have any external, other than what exists in the world around you, any external stimulus, so like a laptop screen or a TV or music or anything like that, having none of that and just having to figure something out to do encourages the mental growth of children. Now, as adults, obviously, after the age of 25 in males, I don't know what the age is for females when their brains are fully developed.
Like 12 or something. Probably.
But for males at 25, obviously, you're not developing those things, but our brains are still plastic in that we can continue to grow. And I personally believe that God gave us minds that are creative.
Mm-hmm.
And we should.
And God gave us Dungeons and Dragons.
Boom.
But we should be using that, right? And I... Even though I agree, you can definitely use it wrong, and if you get addicted to it, so to speak, or you're spending hours and hours and hours every single day playing it, then maybe check yourself again, because that's not healthy.
Right.
But I would argue that personally, I would far rather go and play 3 hours of Dungeons and Dragons than go and sit and watch one of the Lord of the Rings Extended Edition.
Sure.
Or... any of the Chronicles of Narnia, because I'm actually interacting with something. I have people around me that I'm interacting with. Arguably, I wouldn't specifically say that it's an outreach, even though as I was researching it, one of the churches that made a comment was like, yeah, my church has a Dungeons and Dragons night. 40 people come out and play. And I was like, holy smokes. Like, I don't know if I'd go that far. That being said,
one of the guys, my character's Jesus, right? And the mission is to like save mankind.
I don't know.
I'm going to attempt to walk to Jerusalem. All right, let's roll my die.
Oh, stoned again.
But I would say that some of the people that I've played with, our friendships have grown. And oftentimes afterwards, we hang out longer and end up sitting and talking because there was a relationship built. Not just in that world where you're that character. Like, we actually spent time together and interacted with each other too. It's not like we, because I would say that there probably is a danger to fully submersing yourself. Like, there are some people that take If you look at a description of Dungeons and Dragons, probably somewhere in there, you'll see that it's a tabletop role play game, and people will take that role play part way too seriously, I think, sometimes.
Sure.
And I would agree that there's a danger to that.
My kids do that all the time with their make believe.
Yeah.
Settle down, like you're consequencing someone that's not even your kid. Like, you can't do that.
But he attacked my kingdom. Exactly. Like, it's not real, Dad.
There's three forts in our basement right now. Yeah. One is my mother-in-law's, one is Sasha's, one's Natalia's, and they'll battle over their
role play. Sasha burned one to the ground, didn't he? He's like, that's it. Poured salt on it. Never going to grow anything here again.
That's right. Yeah.
So we should talk about Harry Potter.
Yeah, because that's interesting.
I've also never watched a Harry Potter.
Yeah, me neither. I've never read the books, never watched any of the
movies.
Okay, so
I'll
be
the expert of this one. Yeah. Because I think that's a huge debate among Christians.
It is. It's funny, because I'll play Dungeons & Dragons, but I don't feel comfortable with Harry Potter.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I've tried to explain
it. But you know the story before it begins. Dungeons & Dragons, it's like you go walk into...
Here's the thing, though. I trust... the person that's narrating the story to not like I specifically
the dungeon master.
The dungeon master.
Okay, I'm gonna do one, and it's gonna be a trap.
Yeah, right. You couldn't. You wouldn't.
Anyways, so I know there's a lot of debate around the whole Harry Potter thing. Like I mentioned, I was like forbidden to read those because what was told to me was that it's promoting and celebrating witchcraft, and it's teaching kids how to do witchcraft. And that's what I was told. Oh, okay. So then I actually only read... I remember it was even after college. I just kind of said, you know what? I think I'm just going to read them for myself. Because I don't even know what they're about. Mm-hmm. And everyone that I'd ever talked to that was like, Harry Potter's evil. Oh, have you ever read them? No. Hmm. Okay. So I just kind of went, well, I'm just going to see what they're about. So I think there's 7 books.
I just looked. The first one came out in 97.
Yeah. So I would have been 11. So, yeah. So I read all 7 books, and I've seen all the movies. And
isn't there a new one coming out? Like a
Now they because they're like, oh, this is a cash cow. So right. Now they're like, oh yeah, let's do a story about this guy and this guy. I haven't seen any of those new ones, but yeah, what I really I actually really enjoyed the story. And yes, you know, oh, he's a wizard, and he's going to wizard
school. You're a Harry wizard. I mean, a wizard Harry.
Yeah, to go to, like, learn how to be a wizard. And like, so absolutely, there's, like, magic involved in
it. I'd like to know how many kids in the world actually develop powers after learning how to achieve them from Harry Potter.
That's the thing that I tried to explain to my parents, because my parents are still like, I cannot believe you read those books, Andrew. So anyways, I'm like, Mom, they're not teaching it, like, you know, oh, I'm going to turn the light off, Lumos, or whatever it is. It's like, that doesn't work in real life. You realize that, right? Yeah. So it's just a fantastical world.
You can set your Alexa and your Google Play, like, lights you can.
Oh, I should do that next time my parents visit. I just finished. Let's see if this works.
If you have the plug on your lamp in the living room.
So for me, yes, absolutely. There's like dark parts because there's an evil guy in it, right? And they're battling them for the fate of the world kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But for me, the focus of the story is not like, hey, let's teach everyone how to be witches and wizards. It's this beautiful story about, you know, this kid who then actually lays down his life at the end, spoilers, at the end of the story to save all his friends. He literally dies and then comes back because he, like, sacrificed his life. I'm like, where have I heard that before?
That seems oddly familiar.
Yeah, so I'm like, so one, J.K. Rowling completely ripped that off from the Bible.
Sure.
But the story is, it's like... it's basically about his love for his friends, and I'm going to lay down my life for them at the end. And it's kind of like, that's the focus of the story. The focus of the story is not like, hey, kids, let's all learn how to be or how to do witchcraft.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, you know, would I let my kids read them now? No, because there's some dark stuff that I'm like, no. But, you know, once my kids are teenagers, if they said, hey, can I read Harry Potter? I'd probably be like, yeah, maybe I'll read them with you. And then we can talk about, like, okay, yeah, that thing that just happened in the book, that's evil. And that's okay to say that that's evil. Mm-hmm. Because it would be the same as me reading the Bible and something evil happens and I wouldn't just go like, we don't read that part.
It's in the Bible, it's holy.
I would say, hey, what Saul did, like when he went and tried to talk to a dead person, that's evil. Wrong. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if someone wrote a book of using Bible stories but not giving any context? It would be a pretty dark and be a lot of witchcraft, quote unquote, like stories of Elijah calling down fire, like even Moses in front of Pharaoh doing the exact same thing as the sorcerers did, but God, you know, prefacing it by saying, you know, I'm actually showing.
Yeah.
But they're doing the exact same thing. Yeah. Witchcraft.
Yeah.
Could you imagine just this narrative written of just those highlights?
Yeah.
And then given to like your dad being like, hey man, here's a new book. But yeah, change the names. They called on their God to, oh, this is not okay. But I was thinking while you were speaking about Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
And how parents just flooded theaters with their kids to watch this grossly grotesque, violent, bloodshed story of some of the most probably graphic on-screen violence a kid would have seen.
Yeah.
But like, don't look away from the screen. Like, yeah, this is the story of our Savior, which is
portrayed by Mel Gibson.
Yeah, that's a different story. But
is it appropriate to show a 7-year-old that? Probably not. Like, yikes. But you're right. It's kind of like you're not allowed to watch R-rated movies except that one because it's not. Well, it's like, well, I get the logic, but still, like, it's still pretty damaging to show an 8-year-old that kind of graphic violence. Yeah. Like, yikes. So anyways, but there's still people who would disagree and just say, no, I don't feel comfortable. Okay, that's fine. But for me, it's a really great story. And I didn't leave, you know, theaters going like, man, I'm going to go and like learn how to do this witchcraft stuff. Because it's not real. Like, no one says, like, oh, I'm going to repair my desk. Reparo! That's not real. It's not.
Well, some people probably try stuff.
Well, like, the witchcraft that we see, the satanic stuff, it's not the same as, like, no. I'm going to learn how to shoot a firework out of my wand or whatever it is in the books. Like, and someone might say, oh, well, you're splitting hairs. And, well, maybe. But for me, the focus of the books when I read them was not, like, hey, let's celebrate evil. The focus of the books was like, ooh, there's this bad guy and they need to like team up together to defeat him. Okay.
It's like a child version of X-Men if you think of like the university they all go to, to be...
Learn how to use their powers.
Yeah.
To be safe amongst others. I mean,
as a parent, it's interesting. I'm like, because my, you know, so here's a, you talk about magic and it's like magic is bad. My kids love Wildcrats. So and I'm like, that's pretty much magic because they have creature power discs and then they hit it and they turn into the animals that they, and I'm like, that's magic. Mm-hmm. And yet I'm like totally comfortable letting my kids because they're learning about animals and da da da. And they know that it's not real. Like my kids.
Storybots is another great one.
But that's pretty much magic. So I've actually been, my eyes have been open to like, okay, I gotta like, as a parent, take opportunities to like, talk to my kids about this kind of stuff, like, and a lot of it is like common sense. Well, no, Lucy's like, well, no, of course people can't turn into animals. That's impossible. Like, I'm not going to go out and try and become a bird but I'll pretend. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay,
yeah,
right. And then to look for opportunities, like we've kind of started into the Narnia books. My kids' attention spans. And some of the language or how C.S. Lewis writes, they're like, what is he talking about? I'm like, okay, we may need to wait a year or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take opportunities to be like, hey, who does Aslan remind you of? Oh, like, because that's what parenting is, right? Yeah. So
now, I also think it's worth it to say that there are some games out there that are completely destructive and should never be played by Christians. So I don't want people to hear that we're like, oh, yeah, it depends on how you use it.
Yeah.
Just make sure that you recognize it's bad if it's bad, and then it's good, because that I would disagree with.
Well, I think a Ouija board is the sole purpose of that is to summon a spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. So we wouldn't say, like, just be careful. No,
only summon good ones.
Yeah.
So, like, there are examples where stuff like what could be described as magic for the context of our conversation, magic or sorcery, is evil and wrong.
Totally.
And should never be touched by Christians ever.
Yeah.
But even the conversation then for some Christians having playing cards is sin.
Oh man.
Right?
Or a bingo game for your children.
Like, yeah.
Oh,
talk
man.
About and the precursor to gambling
I don't
addiction.
See any biblical evidence to saying that, you know, the Roman soldiers cast lots for Jesus' stuff, but like
the disciples cast lots to figure out who the next disciple was.
That's true.
So, but I think you're right. Like, there's a, I think a generational thing too. Like, you know, cards are just evil, but like, no, they're not. Can they be used for evil things?
Yes.
Maybe,
yes.
Probably. But to sit down and play like Uno or whatever, it's like that's not evil in and of itself. So, yeah. But I'm glad you said that. That don't hear that we're saying like, oh yeah, everything's fine. Just like be careful. No, there's certain things that like, you know, we would say no. You need to just not do that because that's evil.
Actually, I saw a preview for a Marvel movie recently, and it just looked super dark. And I don't even remember the name of it, but it was like
Morbius.
Yeah. So. Mm. I saw that trailer and like, I'll never watch that just because I'm not comfortable with that level of darkness. And there's others that are like far too, I think there was a movie come out, Sin City, and I saw the trailer. Like, that looks like just terrible.
Looks like Sin City.
Yeah.
Well, it's just violence, nudity, and so there's nothing
redeemable about it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I recently watched The Matrix, and that was, you know, all sorts of magic, but it was one of those shut your mind off for an hour and a half and just be entertained by something silly. I never let my children watch it, of course, but you know, I think I didn't go and repent afterwards.
Well, there's still time.
I live a life of repentance.
God may forgive you, but I don't.
But you're right. I think it's using like discernment and judgment going, okay, for me to watch Spider-Man, like, is that evil? No, probably not, because it's not real, right? And it's fun, and there's elements of this is a great story. But yeah, like, okay, a clearly very dark, very evil movie. You know, maybe, I probably shouldn't put that in my mind. Like,
I'd be much more concerned over consumerism, like materialism and sexuality than the magic elements of superpowers. Because I think those are far more damaging to far more Christians today than anything else.
Hmm. Do you think that the fear of some of that stuff, obviously the Bible tells us not to interact with it, but like, I'm thinking to like Dungeons and Dragons or some of the characters in movies that are like fantastical beasts type thing. Do you think some of the fear comes from that, like, oftentimes the characters that are evil in the Bible are described similar to those characters? Like in Revelation, there's the dragon, the serpent in the garden, and all like a bunch of stuff like that. Do you think some of the fear comes from that like anything shaped like that is bad? Because I don't know if people know, but like the seraphim that encircle the throne of God are serpents with wings. Like, that's we're told that. And so like
pretty wild looking beasts.
Like I would understand, because often my portrayal of evil is twisted beings or beasts. So like I could maybe see that, but it's interesting to think that like spiritual beings are fallen creatures of the same type of creature.
And so I think most of these kind of stories that we're talking about, whether like Dungeons and Dragons or Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or Chronicles of Narnia, all of them by and large have this element of like, we're trying, good is trying to defeat evil. But you could argue Harry Potter, and I had someone argue that like, no, it's both evil. There's no such thing as a good witch trying to beat a bad witch. I'm like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But in the book, it's good versus evil. And the reason that those kind of stories resonate with us is because that is the story of the Bible. Yeah. It's good versus evil, and good wins. And so when you watch a Marvel movie, I think one of the reasons that it so connects, one, it's like really great CGI and all that kind of action. It's great. But we're all rooting for, we want good to win, and we want evil to be destroyed. And the reason that that resonates with every human being is because that's the story that we're actually living in. The difference is we're not crossing our fingers going like, I really hope good wins, because we know that God will win, and he has won. But I think that's why so much of this is like, that pulls us in. I want to go play this game where we're on a quest to defeat the evil thing or whatever, because that's the story that we're living in. So that's why so much of that connects with us, I think. So, all right, I think this has been the nerdiest episode yet.
Absolutely.
Tune in next time for when we actually play D&D. No, I'm kidding.
We didn't even talk about Star Wars, all the, because there's magic and evil
in that.
I remember
being a kid watching Star Wars and trying to learn to use the Force, because I thought, here's the thing, though. It's funny, because little kid Christian me would be like, God, I'll believe they're real if you let me use the Force to move that pop can. And then I'd like try. And for anyone who'd like hear that and be like, oh my goodness, see, Star Wars is bad. It never happened. And
I remember getting a toy lightsaber and totally playing that. Like, I'm moving things with my hands. And
as you say that, I was allowed to watch Star Wars. Yeah. I think because my dad really liked it. I bet my mom was gone.
You know what? This is fine.
It's not magic. It's the Force.
Don't tell your mother.
Oh, man. That's so funny. Anyways.
Next time for when we talk about the magic school bus.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. That lady is a witch.
That's true.
But I will say this. There was one person that I talked to, and I actually applauded. They were very consistent because they were like, Harry Potter's evil. And I started asking them, well, do you let your kids watch Magic School Bus? No, she's a witch. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then we kind of went through stuff, and I'm like, you know what? At least you are unbelievably consistent. Sure. So I can respect that, because I was like, you know, what about, you know, Mary Poppins? No, she is a witch. Oh, okay. I'm like, kudos to you. Like, at least you're not inconsistent. So anyways, hopefully that answered your question, listener, or maybe just made you more confused than ever. But if you do have other questions, please send them to us. We would love to answer them. This has been episode 64. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.